FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. The date is 11/12/15 and lots going on in the markets. Gold, precious metals getting hammered for a change. It's deja vu all over again. But one thing that surprises me is that you actually can make money in resource stocks if you know what you're doing, even in this tumultuous market. That's why we've got Daniel Amadori back with us. Dan, you're running Future Money Trends. I mean, you've been doing it for almost 8 years now. That's quite a stellar record, and we're thrilled to have you back.
Thanks very much for having me on the show today, Kerry.
Hey, so first, start off with the unemployment number. Do we have a surplus? Do we have a glut of bartenders and waitresses here?
Well, it really amazed me. I mean, you can't give these numbers much credibility. However, even if you dissect and look at their own numbers, they are actually admitting, according to their statistics, that there is an increase of multiple job holders by 109,000 in October. These are people with two or more jobs.
Yeah.
What was absolutely stunning was that there was literally no job growth at all. In fact, it was negative. The people aged 24 years old to 54 years old, not a single job in October. That number was actually negative. All the job growth came from 55 years and older. And again, the biggest portion of that was the multiple job holders. And then one interesting thing to note, because the BLS does put out the birth-death model, which is not people, but businesses, how many businesses they're guessing are created. For anyone listening who's never heard that term. So every month, the BLS adds in jobs, assuming jobs have been created by businesses. And of course, during this entire downturn recovery story, they have been very aggressive. And in October, they are guessing, because it really is a guessing game, that 145,000 jobs were added from new businesses. And I can tell you, as a business owner and all the business owners I talk to every day, I seriously doubt 145,000 jobs were created in a single month from all these hidden small mom and pop businesses, especially when everybody was getting their healthcare invoices, because every single business owner I've talked to, their premiums for themselves and their employees have surged at least between about 15 to 20%. So I seriously doubt there is a lot of hiring going on out there in this environment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we know, in fact, Dan, that the number of new jobs being the new businesses being started up is at almost generational lows here. And probably for that very reason, that so much fear out there that you got to really think about, do you want to take the risk of potentially blowing your savings, starting a new business? So we know that new corporation formations are down almost everywhere. So this is like a little placeholder that they just toss in there so that they can work the numbers, trying the old, what Jim Sinclair calls management of prospective economics, or MOPE. If you feel better, then things will be better. But you know that that's not the case.
No, Massage Envy couldn't do as good of a job as they do on these numbers. You got half the 25-year-old males living at home now. You got a record number of young women living at home.
Same thing.
The wheels are really coming off as far as the fundamentals. But the way they get this number down so low is if a guy works at Subway and Walmart, that's counted as two jobs. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, they're able to massage these numbers. And of course, the discouraged, they're not counted after a few weeks. You've got people, long-term unemployment still at, very high levels. And that's, again, according to their data. What's interesting is there are two private companies that also keep track of this number. One of them, everyone will know, and that's Gallup.
Yeah.
Gallup is You know, they do presidential elections, they do governor races, senator races, and these guys, they're only off by about 1.5 to 2.5% when they do their elections. And think about how hard that is to try to figure out how many people are going to get off the couch and go vote. Well, they're only off by about, you know, a few percentage points. Gallup, according to their numbers, the unemployment rate is right about 20%. So who are you going to believe? Gallup, who they have to be right, otherwise they don't get paid, or the government. And then another company is shadowstats.com with John Williams.
John Williams, sure.
And he probably has the deepest research out there. And he actually, his business came about because the airline companies and some of the other big Fortune 500 companies, they were using government data to forecast the next 6 months, you know, to a year of how much, you know, what do they need? How much fuel should they lock up? You know, what was the economy going to be like? And of course, when all the changes happened, especially in the early 80s and then really radical changes in the mid to late 90s with all this data, that's where John, his business was birthed, because a lot of these large companies, they said, hey, the numbers we're getting from the government are completely distorted. They're not even close to accurate anymore. And that's how his business started. So again, here's another guy who runs a company that has to be right in order for it to make money. And his data is the same thing. It's showing about a 20% unemployment rate, which all this actually makes sense when you pair it up with the BLS's data, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that we have 95 million people out of the labor force. I mean, I think this is the highest. They say they'll always say it's like a 30, 40 year high. But what they don't tell you is they've only been keeping this data for like 30, 40 years. So it's the highest.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And, you know, there was an article in the paper from New Jersey where I used to live once upon a time, and they were complaining that the millennials just don't drive like the baby boomers do, and they're getting hybrids and they're, you know, driving short distances. I think there's some truth to that, but their point was that the Highway Trust Fund in the U.S. 10 years ago was pulling in $570 billion a year. Maybe it was 8 years ago. I don't know the exact date. Now it's pulling in $530. They don't mention the fact this 95 million people, a big chunk of which we don't know the exact number because there's no way to ascertain it, but the 95 million people who aren't working, let's say it's only 20 million people who would like to be working but have basically been blown out of the labor force. Those people aren't driving to work. They're not driving around as much because presumably they have less disposable income, right? Not a real leap of analytical skills to come up with that, because let's face it, you know, they want to work, they can't work, they don't have the money. And I think that's what's happening more than anything. And, you know, they just want to blame it on the millennials. Everything is their fault, you know, everything's their fault. So go into resource stocks. Last time we spoke, you've had a pretty good run. Some of your picks up 50, over 100%. What do you attribute that to, other than your brilliance as an analyst?
I don't have any brilliance, but what I do is try to focus on people who do have brilliance. So I think the high quality junior resource stocks, that's the ones that are ran by the best people in the business. These are the people who have high integrity. They've surrounded themselves with other great people. You know, when you find these high quality resource companies, you'll notice that usually the guy running it is great. He's got a strong resume, great reputation, but then it's not just him. You go down the whole list and you find that it's just expert after expert after expert, people who've had success. And you know, some of our picks are up. They've had great runs, up 50%. I think about three of them at least, and then one of them has literally doubled just in the past few weeks here. Even though we've had gold go up, we've had gold go down. But you know, you look at the chart, the TSX venture, which is home to the junior mining companies, and you look at the precious metal chart, if it's not at a bottom, it's very near a bottom. So the high quality juniors, the money moves into them. And when the money moves into them, the price goes up immediately, because these things are significantly undervalued. There are assets being acquired that used to be $100 million. Other companies are buying them now for $10 million. You know, one of the companies that we are literally just initiating coverage and we're starting, we're going to have a big profile of it on our website next week, is Callinex Mines. And it's one of these companies where You've got Mike Muslowski, who has basically discovered more minerals in the ground and had more discoveries than statistically 1,000 geologists combined. He's amazing. The chairman. He's a Hall of Famer. He's looking for gold, silver, copper, zinc in Manitoba. And guess what? 13 of his biggest discoveries were in Manitoba, including one of the biggest producing mines to this day in that area. But what's great is you go down the list and you've got Mike Muslowski, but then you've also got two other guys that are part of the team. I want to say Jim Pickle and Alan Bowles. Those two gentlemen, they discovered the other two large mines. So three out of the four largest mine discoveries and mineral producing mines up there, they are all on the same team. They are headed up by a young CEO in his 30s. This guy is like relentless. He's like a force of nature, Max Porterfield. They've already had a mineral, a new zone discovered, a new horizon zone. So here's the deal with that one. The reason why we're putting out a big alert next week, they are starting their winter campaign for drilling. They're doing more drilling in the next 60 days than they did the previous year. And here's the deal. You can get ridiculously rewarded for a discovery, even in a bad market. I'm talking about huge life-changing gains. And over the next 60 days, these guys are now going back to the previous drill targets. They're going to try to expand it and potentially have a major discovery. Now, if they don't have one in the next 60 days, that's okay because they're well-funded. A billion-dollar company came in and bought 18% of their company just a few months ago. And they will likely have great success over the next year or two. However, there is a catalyst over the next 60 days that the big one could happen for these guys. So, you know, it just gets back to partner with the right people and just kind of ignore all the noise of the market.
That's so important because, you know, when you get, I find in any business undertaking, whether I'm hiring somebody or I'm doing a joint venture, working with another company or investing, when you have the opportunity to invest and to work with winners, your odds go up of becoming a winner by so much. Whereas if the person hasn't had their first home run yet, then the speculative aspect of the whole undertaking can really, really put a, I guess what I'm trying to say is, can really lessen your chances of success and may even cause failure because they might be very close to that one project, Dan, but they don't have the resources, they're running short on capital, and they don't have the connections, the contacts that a successful guy like the ones you were talking about there at Calinex, you know, if they need some money, they can find it. Man, the guy who's out there on his first date, man, he's got a lot of odds against him. And if he succeeds, then he's somebody you want to look at in the future. But you don't want to necessarily get involved before the group who's managing the company has had that success.
That's a great point, actually. And not a lot of people talk about that, but you know, if you're like a Mike Muslowski and you need more money, let's say you do drilling, you don't find anything and you need another check. Guess what? There's a line of billionaires and wealthy people who, and groups who want to keep funding you. So your chances of success are even higher. And just to give people an example, less than 1% of the geologists ever make a discovery. But here's what's very interesting, that less than 1% who do make a discovery, they often go out and find a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I believe Calinex, which by the way, the ticker on it is CNX on the TSX and it's CLLXF on the OTC. That's one of the reasons why I mean Calinex is, you know, one of those high quality juniors, and it's an exploration play, which makes it even more lucrative. You know, typically we actually don't focus on exploration plays, but this specific one, you've got the people, you got the projects, and you certainly got a lot of cash with this company.
Yeah. So you got all the components there of success, and makes just so much sense. And, you know, the economy, Dan, being what it is now, people are really wary of of putting money into all but certain things. It's just amazing how risk averse the population has become. And I think that goes back also to the fact people starting new businesses. If you really want to, but you're fearful, you might not do it. Or you say, you know what, I'm going to wait. And I think that feeling of fear really pervades the economy, the country, the world at this particular point.
I agree. And you know, you look at the successful people or business owners who are really pushing their businesses forward so they will be a success, is honestly, you don't pay attention to the news or you let the bad stuff get you down. You just keep focusing and keep building, and you ultimately achieve success, because success is, you know, you could argue that it's a choice. You could also say that it's habits. It's the habit of doing a lot of small things right on a daily basis, moving towards your goal or your objective, and you will be able to have success. So I think, you know, good advice for people listening to the show, that if you're, you know, hesitant about going out and starting your own business, or you're hesitant about making an investment, you know, just remember, you attach yourself to other winners. And these are the people who, you know, I don't want to sound magical, but they will themselves to success because they're such focused individuals. And I hope that came out right. But I want that to be for your own personal life too. If you're listening to this show, like, you know, it doesn't have to be you attach yourself to a Max Porterfield or a Kerry Lutz. You look in the mirror and you have to have your own drive and focus. And, you know, regardless of what's happening in the economy and the world, there are still many great things as well, like an Uber, which I had the experience of using my first time in New Orleans.
Oh, it's great.
You know, there are a lot of things going for you, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you you can do anything related to the internet, because you have a low cost. You know, I often tell people, you know, Future Money Trends went from $1,200 to millions of dollars in about 12 to 13 months, but it was started in my, you know, master bedroom with a laptop.
Yeah. Yeah, the opportunities for starting your own business have never been greater. And I've experienced it. I've seen other people do it, people I know quite well in a multitude of industries. And it all starts with a will and desire to succeed. So, you know, if they raise interest rates 25 basis points, Dan, it really isn't going to have any effect on your startup entrepreneur if they're doing things the right way. And, you know, talking about rates, what do you think, where are we looking at for rates now? Are they really going to raise, they're really going to up the Fed funds rate to 25 basis points next month?
I don't think in the end it matters if they did. It's really a, you know, psychology for the market. I believe they're not. I think we don't see interest rates risen. And I've been saying meaningful, so I'm kind of hedging myself, you know, if they raise it half a point. But really, I mean, I went all out in August because, you know, just totally putting myself on the line saying there would be no rate increase in September. And I just don't see how they can do it. I mean, I see how they can do a quarter or a half where that doesn't really, it's not meaningful. It's just kind of, it's like the window dressing, just putting, you know, the curtains up for it to look right. But there is no real sustainable recovery. And you essentially have a situation where everybody is dependent on these low interest rates. And I mean, now they're really in a jam because now housing is starting to top in a lot of these areas like California, like Texas. Yeah. And they're topping and people are paying 3.5% interest on their mortgages. So now they're really in a jam because once you just really can't raise the rates. And, full disclosure, just to put it out there, I've had an adjustable rate mortgage since 06. And I've heard so many people tell me to lock it in. And I just never have. And I probably never will, because I just don't see the rates going up until way, way into the 2020s or even the 2030s. And then the biggest thing to point out with people who think that rates are going up, because ultimately they will go up, but it'll be the market, not the Fed's decision. The reason the Fed will not make it because that is a suicide move. You know, with the U.S. government paying about $300 billion in interest, you know, you raise these rates just a few percentage points, all of a sudden you're paying $500-700 billion in interest. And, you know, an important thing to point out is the U.S. government only generates about just over $2.3 trillion in revenue, even though we spend over $3 trillion.
Yeah.
We're only generating about $2.3 trillion. And then if your debt interest is $700 billion, maybe even $1 trillion just on interest, I mean, that's when the whole thing just implodes.
Yeah.
So I am very confident rates will practically never go up as far as it's concerned over the next 15 to 20 years. Japan has had their rates at or near zero for, gosh, since the early 90s. Ben Bernanke himself last year told Kyle Bass over dinner that he did not see normalized rates in his lifetime. I want to say Bernanke's only in his 50s. Mm-hmm. Okay, his lifetime is like another 30 to 40 years.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's talking about a generation, 25 years. I mean, like, but either way, I personally, I don't think the rates, there's zero risk of them going up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you're right. And I think that's a big part of the problem of why the economy is not going to get back to normal, because it enables the government to continue the profligate spending with no checks on it and enables all this malinvestment to take place that shouldn't be taking place. We all know what that is. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And Dan, we got to get going. So just tell us, where do we find you for subscribing to get more information on these companies?
FutureMoneyTrends.com. And I know we picked on the millennials earlier, so let me just say this. Carrie, the irony of it is that the baby boomers are entering retirement at a 0% interest rate. They can't get safe fixed income.
I know.
But it is the baby boomers who voted in all these guys and set these policies in place 30, 40 years ago. So
yes,
just a little irony there. But anyway, yeah. FutureMoneyTrends.com. We do a weekly wealth digest. A lot of definitely got an entrepreneurial bent for the new economy.
All right. Well, hey. Great, and great talking to you. We will definitely watch out for Calinex. And hey, if you want to get to Dan's site quickly, just click the link in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And Dan's very accessible, takes emails. Just go to the site. And Dan, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, sir.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.